It's O'Neill Outside. On News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls, from Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio high on Sassafras Mountain in North Georgia. This is O'Neill Outside. What a surprise. A brand new, unused Saturday morning. Yes, indeed. 5:05. We've got another hour of outdoors headed your way. A lot of things to talk about, a lot of people to talk to. So let me share a couple of things with you. This program is brought to you by Cherokee County Toyota, Hayes Auto Dealerships, True Turn, Roadrunner, Furminator, Whitetail Institute, Stripling's General Store, Fire Aid, CVA Muzzleloaders, Fisher's Choice Baits, Rugged Ridge Floor Liners, Thoroughgood Boots, Horsetown Stores, Crocodile Bay Lodge, Zach Brown, Southern Grind Knives, Governor's Gun Club, and Snellville Heating and Air. No sponsors, no show. So we have a lot of things to do. We have the Silent Hero Recognition, the Medal of Honor account, or Medal of Honor tribute. Your calls, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. We failed to give away the radio prize package, and I have so much stuff on my desk here, I don't know where everything is. But in any case, I love to hear from you this morning. We have a lot of things to talk about. The water temperature is falling. We have the Ram Fishing Report coming up along with everything else. So it may be a fun half hour, I hope, hour that is. I hope so. What are you listening to the show? Well, must be, or you wouldn't be able to answer. I go back to bed after the show because I get up about 2:30, and I'm too old to stay up the rest of the day. I used to. You stay up all night. But you can watch what we're doing here on Facebook. I forgot to mention that to you. You can watch O'Neill Outside on Facebook, and soon you'll be able to watch O'Neill Outside Radio on television. Kind of a scary thought, isn't it? Wow. But your calls are certainly important to us. We want to hear from you. We're going to talk about so many other things. The top states for you to record a record deer, and why are there so many record deer being shot in the last few years? We'll take a look at that. This is O'Neill. You stay right there. We'll be back. This is O'Neill, and I forgot totally what we were supposed to do, but right now I'll tell you what we're going to do because he's been holding on quite a while. Here's Tim. I believe Tim is calling from Tennessee. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, O'Neill. How you doing this morning?
Good. Good to hear your voice. You're on the radio.
Appreciate it, sir. Hey, yeah, we're going up to Lake Chickamauga. I'm actually from Powder Springs, Georgia, but, okay. Man, that is my new favorite lake by far.
No kidding. Well, what's the harvest there? What do you do?
Well, it's a Tennessee River lake, so you get a lot of pool, you know, when they're generating. And what's amazing about it is you can pretty much catch topwater fish almost all day long. It's unique. I've fished a lot of lakes around Georgia, and by far my favorite lake. I've even fished Gunnersville out in Alabama, and it's a great lake also. But Chickamauga just seems to have more bass. You'll catch largemouth, smallmouth, spots, white bass, and a few hybrids. But just an amazing lake, man. Have you ever fished it?
I have not. I fished quite a few places on the Tennessee River. Is your fishing pressure pretty well governed, or success governed by the generation schedule?
Yeah, it sure helps. If they're generating, it's a different beast. You know, you probably catch three times the fish as when they're not generating.
That's a big attractant for me. I love to go to places where we can plan on the generation schedule. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah, they're always pulling some water, you know, but when they pick up the pace, it really helps. It's amazing. Hey, I was wanting to bring up one more thing with you. I was on one of your hunting shows back in 98, Wow. You came down to a plantation that I was working at during the summer, and you were hunting hogs with a pistol.
Oh, my goodness. That was a long, long time ago.
It was a long time ago. It was a lot of fun, and I enjoy listening to the show in the mornings.
You're very kind to call. You're going to just fish for the day up there at Chickamauga or what?
Yeah, it takes I live just south of Atlanta now, and it takes about 2 hours and 15 minutes. Let me tell you something, that drive doesn't bother me a bit.
Not if you got a good destination.
I've had me and someone else in the boat, we've had 100 fish days several times, and the good part is they're usually not small. We don't keep them, but they average, you know, 1.5 to 3 pounds, so it's a lot of good fun for sure.
Yeah, something's always biting and pulling on your string, huh?
There is always something.
Hey, that's good. That's a good reminder then about our pistol hog trip. And my goodness, good luck to you today.
Well, thank you so much, O'Neill. You have a good one.
You bet. Stay in touch and be safe. And call me back and let me know what happens later. Now for the Ram Fishing Report. Let me click the right line. And here's Mac Farr with the Ram Fishing Report. Good morning, Mac.
Good morning, O'Neill.
Boy, you sure are getting active on Facebook. There's a video or something on there every day. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. You know, we've worked hard to up our content. And a lot of it's, of course, the fishing report, the Ram Fishing Report's out there to try and get people up to speed on fishing and a few tutorials and help everybody catch an extra fish or two if possible.
You betcha.
So, yeah, we hope that's working and maybe even entertain you slightly while we're doing it. So
there you are.
maybe give you a chuckle or something. So, but, yeah, we'll send some stuff over to your page as well so people listen to the report, you can see some of what we're talking about every week.
Yes, indeed. It's well done.
And thank you. And then speaking of this week, fishing's been really good. But, man, we're really seeing some changes. Fall's here on the calendar. Fall happened last week. It's been unusually warm, but we're starting to really see the changes in the fishing patterns. You look around at the plants, we're starting to see just a few gulls on the lake, some other migratory birds. So stuff's starting to happen quick. So be aware of that if you're fishing today. We're still catching some fish on the summer patterns. But in addition to that, we're getting some topwater fish, particularly early, stripers and bass. Over humps, high spots, maybe 18 to 25 feet. There's also a lot of fish that you can catch trolling or pulling bait over the hump. So that's the new pattern that really kicked in this week, in addition to the summer stuff. And the bass guys are having bass fishing on Lanier's really, quite frankly, been pretty tough through most of September. But this little bit of temperature drop really energized them, catching topwater, swim baits, you know, same thing over the humps, around brush piles in that 25-foot range. So bass fishing improved dramatically, and I'm hearing other reports across area lakes. And striper fishing's good, but they're scattered out, and be ready to use a bunch of different techniques because we got water quality.
Okay, yeah. When is the World Series?
That'll be in early October.
That's when you fish at night for stripers, isn't it?
Historically, it's like when the dogwoods bloom in the spring, the white bass are up in the river. When the World Series is on, you can catch a fish with a bomber.
There you go.
That you remember that from? Well, that goes back to that hog hunt show that gentleman was just talking about.
Yes, it does.
But yeah, when that's going on, that actually starts when the water gets below 80 historically. But it peaks out when the water gets in the low 70s or high 60s, which that's about when that series is going on. So we're close to that. I haven't tried it yet. You might get some now. Typically, when that starts on the high end of that temperature range, the fish run really small. And then when it cools off a little bit, some of the bigger ones get up there with them. But, you know, looking at the long-term weather forecast, stays pretty warm this week. But after that, we get some cooler temperatures, and I'm sure that'll crank up then.
Great report, Mac.
Well, no, thank you. I'm glad to be able to. It's a great report when I can tell everybody they're biting. That's what makes it.
Yeah, that's a fact. All right, and how can people be in touch?
You can call us at 770-271-0851, or we're always online at Captain Mac, CaptainMacks.com.
All right, pal. Have a great weekend, okay?
Do the same. Everybody enjoy the outdoors. Be safe.
See you soon, man. Hey, look out. Here's Hank the Yank. He's calling in early today. What do you say?
I'm not that early. Well, am I that early?
Just a little. That's okay.
Well, you know, I'm getting up early to prepare for today is a big day for us.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
Orange Crush. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, my goodness.
We're playing the University of Tennessee.
Oh, the Volunteers, huh?
Did I tell you what happened to me a couple of weeks ago?
No, tell me.
I'm going to give you a good fishing report, but really quick, let me tell you what happened. I had to go up to Tennessee because my little carp boat comes out of Tennessee, and I got caught speeding in Tennessee, and the trooper pulled me over, and you won't believe what my fine turned out to be. I had to get two tickets and sit through a University of Tennessee game. That's what my fine was. Let me tell you, I'll never speed in Tennessee again.
I guess not.
Go dogs, sick 'em.
Yeah, sick 'em dogs. Tell me right quick, what are the trout doing, sir? And what are the stripers doing at Lanier?
Well, the trout fishing is it hasn't picked up. You know, the trout on the Hooch is okay, but it's got to cool down a little bit more.
Yeah.
They are getting a few fish. There's no question, but the brown trout will start, you know, getting into their spawning mode in about 6 weeks. The stripers, on the other, and the guys like Unicoi, hasn't opened up their fishing up the you know, in the mountains yet, because the water's just way too warm, and when that happens, you can just harvest. Unfortunately, you know, you're killing fish when it's too warm. They stress out and they just can't take it. We're really not fishing up in the mountains yet. You need another 2 weeks. By mid-October, everything will fire up. On Lanier, it's actually starting to change, just like Max said. I will tell you, the good news is that yesterday, one of our guys caught his first striper on a fly for the season. And that's going to pick up. You know, anybody who wants to fish with an artificial right now over the next 3 or 4 weeks, don't worry about fish coming up so much. You got to fish humps and points that are about 20 to 25 feet down, and you can throw sabils and game changers on intermediate lines, and you can get these fish to look up this time of year. So the fishing is just starting to take effect. We're starting to book trips. O'Neill, I'll be honest with you. It's amazing how much fly fishing has taken off. My next open date is second week of December.
Wow.
I don't have a day open between now and the second week of December.
Right. So Henry, I got to go here. I hate to cut you short. I'm up against the clock. Called earlier, or I wouldn't get to you at all. Good luck to you, pal.
You take care.
And now, it's time for the Ronnie Thames Silent Hero Foundation Award, brought to you by Fire Aid.
It was a hot day in August when the emergency about the small fire had grown to engulf the entire building. It was already looking pretty hopeless when we got there, said Jacob Owen. By the time the 24-year-old fireman arrived at the scene, most of the 100 or so residents had already made it out of the blazing 7-story inferno. But the firefighters had to be sure everyone was safe. So Jacob entered the building, broke down the doors, checking for any remaining trapped tenants. It was like an old building, and the floors were already collapsing. As he was leaving the building, a frantic woman, came running up and said, "Where's my baby? Where is my Chris?" Now, Jacob knew that the 7-year-old was still in there. He could just feel it. And the fact he hadn't heard the screaming or calling out signaled that the child was probably passed out or in shock, and he had to find him. Jacob made his way back to the 5th floor while the firefighters outside used ladders. Now, thick black smoke poured out of the windows and through the hallways, and the heat had become so intense that it was about to overcome Jacob. By the time he made it to the 5th floor, the fire had grown so fierce he could not see more than a few feet in front of him. He just kept seeing that mother's face, and he couldn't walk away from this one. Jacob Owen made his way to the 5th floor apartment and found the child passed out in the closet. Cradling him in his arms, he hurried down the steps and started the life-saving procedures. Silent hero this week, Jacob Owen, and he saved a 7-year-old from death. And you just found out his name. 27 after the hour. Let's talk to Alan now on O'Neill Outside. Alan is calling from Tallahassee, Florida, I think. Well, good morning,
hey,
Alan.
Bill.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I loaded up the truck and moved to Beverly or got the heck out of Gwinnett County.
Okay.
Yeah, I moved down here with my son down here in Tallahassee, and I've been here about almost 2 months now, and I heard you hurt your back, and Dr. Keller told me you're doing a lot better now. And
oh, yeah.
But I was calling to let you know that, you know, there ain't much deer hunting down here. My German Shepherd's as big as some of these deer down here.
Yeah, that's small.
But the fishing is unbelievable down here. I met an old boy down here, and he took me brim fishing, or what they call shell cracker.
Right.
And O'Neill, what they do is they take a slip weight and they put a swivel below it with a bead, and then they put the line with a hook and then put a cricket on it, and they find the shell bottom, and they drag that weight across that shell. And O'Neill, we caught brim that were between 3/4 and a pound and a quarter. And you're only allowed 20 apiece, but we were throwing back half-pound brim. It was unbelievable.
That's great. That's good eating. But, now, don't throw them all back.
No, well, like I say, you're only allowed to catch. I mean, only you can flay them just like a bass. I mean, that's how big they are. You couldn't get your hand on them. You had to put them in the bottom boat and put your foot on them to get your hook out. And then you can pretty much lip them and put them in the live well.
There you go. A shell cracker.
Yeah, we fish Thursday, you know, while this full moon's out. But that's what they do. They go out there and they find that hard bottom, that shell. Because most of these lakes down here are prairie lakes. There's a lake called Lake Miccosukee.
Yeah.
It's after the Seminole Indians here. Mm-hmm. And they're all prairie lakes, and they're subject to drying up, you know, depending on the rainfall in North Florida. Or if a sinkhole forms in it. That's what happened to Lake Jackson about 15 years ago, they tell me. There's a big sinkhole formed in it.
Yes, it was.
Sucked all the water out of it.
Now, I'll tell you something that you'll have to permit me. I think the more that you know and the more that you understand, the more you can appreciate what you're doing when you're hunting and fishing. So I'm about to tell you this. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Those lake levels, Miccosukee, Jackson, and those lake levels in North Florida, in that area, are governed by the rainfall in Georgia.
Oh, yes, sir. It's all runoff from what comes out of South Georgia.
That is correct. That's why years ago when Jackson dried up, it was because it hadn't rained in South Georgia. Interesting, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that's mostly what it is. It's all due to the rainfall in South Georgia and what little bit they get down here in North Florida. But here lately, you can set your clock by about every afternoon, about 3:00, they get a thunderstorm here.
You betcha.
I mean, some real good ones right now. But I mean, of course, the bass fishing is really starting to get good down here.
Mm-hmm.
It's still pretty hot down here, but I mean, they say here when November rolls in, if you ain't on the water, you're stupid, because they say the bass are just unbelievable.
It really is. It's very, very famous for big bass in those lakes in that area. Very famous.
Yeah, from Seminole all the way over to Lake City, they say any of these ponds or prairie lakes or like Lake Jackson, Lake Talcum, and all them, they say they're just full of big bass.
Oh, you're reminding me of quite a few names of lakes that I have not heard of in some time. Talcum, Miccosukee, Jackson, all those. That's good. I'm glad to hear it. And I'm glad you're there, and I'm glad you're enjoying it. I really am.
Well, how's Miss Gail doing?
She's just doing fine. She's sleeping in this morning, I think. I expected her to show up here in the next few minutes. I don't know if she will or not.
Well, how's her knee doing?
She's recovering. That's a slow process. Now,
I hate this drug on this long for her. I know it's got to be hard, you know. But I thought it would kind of got over with her by now. But I guess, you know, just... you know, what they say, like, you know, like I just retired and you know, draw my size. The old bones take a long time to heal.
It takes, according to her physician and mine, the same fellow, we both had knee replacements, it takes anywhere from 9 months to a year before you can say, well, I'm over it now.
What, when did she have it done?
About 5 months ago.
Oh, okay.
So she's got a little time.
Of course, I still listen to you every morning. I know you were out of town last week, but I sure miss talking to y'all, and I sure hope y'all doing well, and hope God blesses you.
Well, you're very kind with your comments, and you be sure and stay in touch, okay?
I sure will, buddy. I'll let you know how fishing is in North Florida now.
There you go. It'll be a good report.
All right, buddy. You have a good one.
See you soon. There you are. 32 after the hour, 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Before I get to the other calls, I'm going to repeat something that I started in the first hour of the program because, by golly, I think it's good. And it's deer season. And I'll quickly go through some recommendations and reminders, if you will, about what to do for your deer hunt. Sometimes we get used to things, we don't make the full experience. Here's some recommendations. Ready? All right, you take a deer, bang, shoot the deer runs off. What should you do? Take close attention where the deer ran, if he did. If you have your cell phone, which you should for emergency purposes, take a photo from the stand so that you can get that perspective on the phone when you go look for the deer. Telephone or otherwise notify other people without ruining their hunt that you're trying to find a deer and you're walking in the woods. They need to know that. Okay, you finally find the deer. What should you do? Well, first of all, before you got down out of the stand, unload. Now you found the deer. Reload and approached quietly. If the deer is dead, unload. In your backpack that you should have been carrying, be sure that you wipe off the blood off the deer before you start taking photos. Call your partners so they can come and take photos of you and your deer. If you include the rifle in the shot, make sure the rifle is not pointed at you. I see that a lot. Take photos up close. Take lots of photos. They are free. Make sure that your faces or your face can be seen. Put the sun in your face so they can see your face in the photo. Finally, take pictures without the rifle. You and the deer. Make the most of it. And then take a deep breath and realize what just happened. You put in a food plot. You sighted in your rifle. You built your stand. You scouted for the deer. You finally got a deer, a doe, a buck. It doesn't matter. You completed the hunt and you have plans to cook that game on the big green egg. Look around you and make a reference, and you will be able to remember, to recall with the help of the photos, a very unique experience during the 2018 deer hunting season. We go too fast with all of this. Relax. After all, you get to go back to deer camp later on, and you get to lie about it. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. This is O'Neill, Saturday mornings, WSB, the Sports Broadcast Network nationwide, with O'Neill Outside, the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world. Why? Because of you guys. I'll be back.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Major George Day, Air Force, Vietnam, August 1967. Colonel Day was forced to eject from his aircraft over North Vietnam when it was hit by ground fire. His right arm was broken in three places and his left knee was badly injured. He was captured and taken to a prison camp, interrogated and tortured. Colonel Day escaped into the jungle and began the trek towards South Vietnam, traveling southwards, surviving on a few berries and some raw frogs he captured. He encountered the U.S. artillery patrols. With the aid of a bamboo log float, Colonel Day swam across the river and entered a demilitarized zone. Due to his delirium, however, he got lost and he wandered aimlessly for several days. After unsuccessful attempts to signal U.S. forces and aircraft, he was ambushed and recaptured by the VC. Sustaining gunshot wounds to his left hand and thigh, he was returned to the prison from which he had escaped and later was moved to Hanoi after giving his captors false information to their questions. He was hanging in there tough. His personal bravery in the face of the deadly enemy pressure was significant in saving the lives of his fellow aviators who were still flying against the VC. Colonel Day's gallantry at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of the U.S. Air Force and reflect so for the U.S. Army Corps. The Medal of Honor. 42 after the hour. This is O'Neill. Now let's talk to... Here's our good friend Richard calling from West Virginia. Good morning, Richard. How are you, sir?
Morning there, O'Neill. You know, this isn't what I called about, but I heard you talking about your knee replacement.
Yes.
And I just went to a bone doctor on Thursday, and they took x-rays, and he told me that you need a knee replacement. So what I was wondering, what were your symptoms like when you went in there? When you first discovered, what kind of doctor did you go to? How did you know that you needed a knee replacement?
My knee was injured when I was playing football in high school when I was 16 years old, and all of the cartilage was removed from my knee. You see, that was 58. So they did things differently then. So I had no cartilage in my knee, so for approximately 56 or 57 years, it was bone against bone. So that part was worn out and it needed to be replaced. It hurt and I limped and so on. So this new knee surgery these days, other than the little recovery from the surgery part, it's a piece of cake.
Yeah, but what I heard you say was like 6-9 months to a year.
That is correct, but that's because that's because your body tries to reject the metal in your knee. It doesn't hurt so much, but you just don't feel real good. Your body is trying to get rid of a foreign object. That's what that is. You'll make it, Richard.
Kind of physical rehabilitation or physical therapy? Do you have to do?
Yes, you do.
He was telling me about bone on bone, and he was just saying, you have something missing in here. And
yeah. Your knee needs to go.
What's that?
I say your knee needs to go. It needs to be replaced.
Okay. What I called about was a snakehead fish. You ever heard of a snakehead fish?
I have heard of that, and I've seen photos, but I don't know where they are and what's their region and anything much about
them. I heard about it. I don't know if that's in the United States or in the world, but they were talking about this snakehead fish that was destroying a lot of the other fish. It was killing a lot of the other fish.
Uh-huh.
But then it was like gone. I just wonder if they got rid of it or exactly.
I doubt it. I don't think that's native to the United States. It sounds like a Middle Eastern thing to me, so...
So you heard of a snakehead fish?
Yes, I have. Yes, absolutely.
But it's not part of the United States, then?
I don't think so, but I could stand corrected since I'm not a biologist, but I would think
Okay, thanks, sir, Neil.
You bet. Hey, have a good weekend, Richard. There goes Richard. Now, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. It's 45 after the hour. Let's jump right in here and speak to Craig. And Craig is calling on O'Neill Outside. You're on the radio, Craig. Good morning.
Hey, O'Neill. This is Craig from Tata, Georgia.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I got my book, my hat in the mail a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, mighty fine. I hope you enjoy it.
Well, 24 years of listening all come back to me. You know, when you listen to you and watched you that long, you kind of read through the book and you reminisce. And so I just wanted to say thank you for the memories and the future memories. But it was wonderful. And you just need to write another one now. What you going to do?
Well, yeah, I have plans to write another, yes. It's funny when you sit down and think of some of the places and what you did. It's easy to come up with about 30 chapters. They're short, as you read, but, you know, maybe it serves as a reminder and some appreciation for the outdoors. What do you think?
Well, it was perfect, and that's the thing. I actually listened to you on AM 640. I forgot about that when you were on GST or
no
whatever.
No kidding.
Yeah,
wow.
Well, I've been stomping around Atlanta for since the 90s, early 90s, and but anyway, like I said, I've heard those stories, and now I got it in print, so I'm actually starting over again. It's that good to me, and thank you for the hat. I got to order another hat, though, O'Neill.
Yeah?
Well, the one I got on my desk, and I don't want to mess it up, so I'm going to order another one that I can wear out. How about that?
Okay, you can order it right off the website, and I'll sign it again and send it to you.
Thank you, O'Neill. Enjoy the show, my friend.
You bet. I appreciate you taking the time to call and your very, very kind comments about the book. I will tell you, I was very uneasy about trying to publish that because where I attached so much importance to those stories and those people and those places, I'm not sure that other people would understand. And the fact that you mentioned that recalled memories for you, that means a lot to me, and I appreciate that.
Well, it did. It carries me way back, and I appreciate you writing it.
You bet. Thanks, pal.
Have a good one.
You too. There you are. Well, that segues into allowing me for more self-promotion. If you would like to have a copy of O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way, then you may order that on Amazon, and very soon there'll be an Audible so that I'll read the book to you. But if you like, you can visit O'Neill Outside right there on the store, on O'Neill Outside, the little store. You can order O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way, and I will personally sign or personalize the signature on the book, if that means anything to you. And you can order there, and I'll send you the book. And you can order the hats there, too. So there you are. 48 after the hour. It's been a long morning, hadn't it? Hadn't we handled a lot of things? Nobody answered our radio prize package question. So I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to give the prizes away. I'll keep them for next week. And the question was, Travis and I have a good friend who helps us shoot the shows, hunt on the shows, host the shows, and he works for CVA Muzzleloaders. He's an outstanding hunter and outdoorsman. And I ask, what is his name? His name is Dakota Russell. It's a one-of-a-kind name, too. How about that? Well, we got to get out of here for a minute. We have calls on the way. If I can round them up, you know how that goes. And this is O'Neill. I need to hold on here for a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. Next week, Gail and I will be off the air again because we're going to Cajun Vista Lodge, a bunch of us, and we're going to go fishing again on the Gulf Coast and eat some good Cajun food. This is O'Neill. And I'll be back. I'm a knucklehead, okay? I can't read my own notes. I've got four more minutes here, so I'm sorry. I'm not a professional at this. I've been doing it for 28 years. Here's John. I'll raise up John. He called. We got to John very quickly, didn't we, John? Good morning to you.
Yes, you did, O'Neill. I just wanted to thank you for autographing the book that you said that I ordered for my son. I called in 2 weeks ago and told about the time on 9/11 when he walked 7 miles to donate blood.
I remember.
And I wanted to correct a little bit of that story that I got wrong. He walked 7 miles to the blood center, but by the time he got there, the state of emergency was being lifted, and he was able to catch a cab home.
Oh.
And also, the other thing that I didn't know that he just reminded me of the other day is that when he got there, they had run out of containers, and so he had to come back home without ever having given blood.
Oh.
But at least he gave it the old college try.
Yes, he did indeed. Have you been able to read the book at all yet?
I just got it. I'm going to give it to him today.
Oh, well, wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank you so much, Neil, and I listen to your show every Saturday morning. I'm not a hunter or a fisherman. I've got another story I'll tell you. I'll call back another day.
Well, do me this.
I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you. Do me this favor.
All right.
If you can, as you present the book, take a photo and put it on my Facebook page.
All right, I'll sure do that.
I'd appreciate that. When you're giving him the book in celebration of the sacrifice that he made and the effort that he put forth during 9/11, I'd love to see that photo of the two of you with the book.
I'll make sure we get that done.
Good deal.
Thanks, O'Neill. Bye-bye.
Thank you very, very much. I'm sorry for engineering all up and down the way here. I'm sorry for fouling up the time. One of the things I want to do is, in remaining moments, remember I told you about going to the Zach Brown guest book at O'Neill Outside. I'm about to read a comment that somebody placed there, but I want you to understand, if we use the comment on the television show, Zach Brown sends you a knife. If I read it on the radio program, it's just part of the radio show. You don't get a knife. But this is from Mount Juliet, Tennessee. And he said this Sunday, his family, this is from Scott Sullivan. He said they were getting ready to go to church, and his son asked him, why don't we go hunting? So Scott asked me, how does he get started doing that? You can read. You can study and spend some time understanding what goes on in the woods. The fastest way is for you to join a hunt club or get somebody to take you to their club. You have to experience it because the hunt is so much more than just pulling the trigger. And you can hunt your whole life and never pull the trigger. Because after all, when you pull the trigger, the hunt's over. Remember that? Now, I tell people, hey, when you're introducing youngsters to the woods, introducing youngsters to wildlife, do this. Slow down. When you get into the woods, sit down and be quiet. And the woods will wake up all around you. This is O'Neill.
Pour me another one. Make it a strong one. We're gonna have some fun tonight.
Well, I just got a call from Mike Hayes. That rascal had the wrong telephone number. I missed talking to Mike this morning. He's had quite a few promotions there, and it was interesting. I asked him about what's selling more now than anything at all the Hayes dealerships. All the Hayes, it's trucks. I'm not a bit surprised. Are you? Not a bit surprised. Everybody needs a pickup, for goodness sake. It's almost 58 after the hour. What a morning this was. Interesting, huh? I know O'Neill probably talks too much, and I apologize for that. But it is radio, and that's what you do on radio, even though you can watch O'Neill Outside Radio on Facebook or at Facebook. We got some calls this morning, some long-distance calls from the Carolinas, from Tennessee, from Texas. the fellas didn't want to be on the air, but said he enjoys the show and enjoys listening on Saturday mornings. Dallas, Fort Worth. I can't remember the radio station there. But people are asking about deer hunting. How do you get started? You got to plan it. You just don't wake up one morning and say, hey, I'm going to be a deer hunter. It's worthwhile. And no matter what your physical activity or history of athletics, like mine, good, bad, involved, multitude of activities, I can tell you personally that I don't play football, baseball, wrestle. I don't swim on the swim team. I'm not a diver anymore, but I'm an outdoorsman. It lasts a lot longer. Appreciate you joining us this morning. Sorry I didn't get to talk to Mike on the air. It's my fault for not giving him the proper telephone number. But you keep this in mind wherever you go, whatever you do this week, and that's this. If you're too busy to go hunting and fishing and take a child along and teach them about the outdoors, you're too busy. I'll see you guys soon. Gail will be back, I promise.
Georgia, the whole day through.
The whole day.
Just an old
WSBB-FM.